The MadTech Podcast Special, focusing on the most important topics in AdTech and MarTech.
Hello and welcome to today's ExchangeWire Podcast Special. I'm John Still, Head of Content at ExchangeWire. And today we're here to discuss Google versus the DOJ. What does it mean for the ad industry? US Justice Department has taken legal action against tech giant Google, seeking to split up its ad business. In a lawsuit filed in late January, the DOJ alleged that Google abuses its power as one of the biggest providers and auctioneers of online advertising. The lawsuit requests that Google's anti-competitive acquisitions, like DoubleClick in 2008, be reined in by the court. Speaking at a press conference, US Attorney General Merrick Garland said, Google has engaged in exclusionary conduct that has severely weakened, if not destroyed, competition in the ad tech industry. To discuss this issue and what it might mean for the ad industry, I'm joined today by Jason Kint of Trade Association Digital Content Next. Welcome, Jason. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. I'm also joined by ExchangeWire CSO, Kieran O'Kane. Kieran, always a pleasure.
Hello, John. Hello. Hello, Jason. How are you?
I'm good. Good to be back, Kieran.
Cool. Well, straight down to it, I think it's fair to say that you are both pretty outspoken critics of Google's activity already. And Jason, in a fairly comprehensive thread that you wrote following the announcement in January, your first take was Google are royally screwed. So in your opinion, and from what you've seen since, how big is this case and what does it really mean for the wider industry?
Well, you know, I've always thought this was the big one. We've been waiting a long time for the Justice Department to file it. But because it focuses narrowly on the ad tech marketplace, you know, it's the one that, at least from the publisher perspective and the media industry perspective, I think has the most significant impact. And, you know, we saw a very similar case filed in 2020 by the U.S. state AGs, but we've been waiting for this Justice Department to come in with its resources and its case. And here it is.
Yeah. And this one, you know, you said hopefully it's the big one. Is this the one that's really going to have the wider implications? And what will it mean, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, well, first off, I think because the request for relief from the Justice Department and the accompanying states is to split up Google or divest its ad tech business, you know, that's where all the focus goes. But I think, you know, in a rapidly, you know, complex ad marketplace, the other big piece of this is it freezes Google in many ways while the case is, you know, going through the courts. And so I wouldn't step over that piece. There's a lot of effects on the Google, both in the US and internationally, while the case is underway too. So it's not just about, you know, will they get split up and divested?
Kieran, what do you think?
Well, Jason wrote a very, very eloquent Twitter thread. I referenced it several times and he's gone through it in great detail. The reality is that Google would never have been allowed to buy DoubleClick in the first instance because it's just allowed them to leverage probably one of the greatest demand weapons on the planet, which is search. And through that weapon, if you will, they've kind of like basically locked down the display market. And DoubleClick has just acted as a tool for them to kind of just basically put it into their iron grasp. And they've been involved in some sketchy behavior. Like, obviously, this is all charges brought against Google. It has to go to court, so it hasn't been proved out yet, right? But the evidence that's out in the open is pretty obvious of what they were doing, collusion, market manipulation, etc. Like, so is it the big one? I mean, it's hard to tell. I mean, I've written a few like posts about what a breakup of Google sell side would look like. And, you know, maybe Jason could talk to this bit as well, that, you know, if you took out, you know, GDN business or AdSense and AdMob and GAM, you know, completely take Google out of the sell side business altogether, it would have a significant impact, I think, on not only the independent ad tech space, which would probably be massively boosted by it, but also on the choice that publishers have and in innovation itself. I don't think really, let's be honest, Google hasn't really innovated since buying DoubleClick. It bought AdMeld and it bought the likes of YouTube. You know, it hasn't, it's just basically solidified its market share by leveraging search. So it's hard to say, John. Look, there's been plenty of cases of Google, and this is a fairly thorough case, and there's a lot of detail here. So who knows? It could result in a breakup, but it might take years. Like I justice in the US is pretty full on, but it takes a long time to get there.
Yeah, one thing I would add to that I found interesting in the suit is I thought it did a better job than anything I've seen to date in explaining what is a very complicated marketplace, and needed to, because it hasn't been widely covered, but this actually suit was filed to go to a jury rather than a judge. So it has to be explained to 12 average Americans why this matters. And so I thought it was a step function forward in terms of understanding the marketplace, which we started to see a few years ago, but also then explaining it so that the average person can understand. And the comparisons to the financial markets, I think, is one that really helps move the needle, because I think the average person can understand that if a company is dominant and a gatekeeper on the buy side, the sell side, in between, and they're the market maker and they also control the most inventory, it's a problem, let's just say. And so I think the average person can start to understand that, and they're going to have to when they lay out the evidence.
Yeah, Kieran, do you agree with that in terms of the, it's there in more black and white terms that we've seen previously?
Yeah, I think they did a good job of simplifying it. It's very complex, our ad tech. I mean, we all try to explain to our relatives what we do for a living, and it's just impossible to explain. So I just say I work in computers. That's easier. I don't even say computers and advertising. But yeah, I mean, I think, Jason, it's very well articulated. And they've kind of laid out a very, very strong case against Google. But my sense is, like, where does this go? Is this like epoch defining? And one of the things I think Jason said there was really interesting was it kind of puts a handbrake on Google and what it can and can't do. So it can't make any sort of quick fire acquisitions, because that's just throwing more fuel on the fire. And it does sort of hamstring Google a little bit. There's three outcomes here I think potentially we could see. Like, one is Google probably is forced to spin out its sell side and has some kind of relationship with, because at the end of the day, right, that sell side tech is kind of worthless without the search demand running through it. Not worthless, but like it's probably on par with any ad tech. So what gives Google its special sauce is search. I think that I wish that was actually talked about more in the case. That's the thing I feel that people don't understand. Google search is the greatest demand source on the planet, and it literally puts them in the control of publishers in terms of AdSense, in terms of AdX. It's just really sticky. But if you take that away from that platform, it does make it just very ordinary. The other problem maybe is if Google did decide to sell or to spin out the sell side and then decided to funnel its search demand elsewhere, what effect would that have on publisher revenue? That's an interesting one that people don't really think about. I mean, the consequences of Google leaving the market could be pretty dire. I mean, they're spending the guts of $50 billion in traffic acquisition costs a year. I know some of that's obviously going to Apple, but a lot of that is going to like the network they run, and that's publisher revenue. So there is a lot of consequences to this. And then I suppose the third one is like, ad tech heaven for the indies, basically. It's like, Google decided to shut it completely and just leave everything to the SSPs and the ad servers, independent ad servers. So, those are three things I thought that might happen. How likely they are, Jason's probably in a better position because he's closer to this case, but we've seen legal cases against Google come and go, and they've been fined by the EU, they've been fined by the DOJ, and they still keep on trucking.
One thing I would throw in there too, Kieran, that into the mix, is that the lawsuit and the allegations in it are also instructive to other policymakers. And so I wouldn't be surprised if in Brussels and also in the US, you start to see legislation get reintroduced that that focuses on market power in the supply chain of ad tech. And so We had a bill last year that was introduced in our U.S. Senate that it wasn't pushed super hard, but I could see it coming through again. It was incredibly bipartisan. It was introduced by Senator Lee, but it had, you know, Senator Cruz and Senator Warren, who are two of our, you know, more conservative and progressive senators on both extremes, both were signed on to it. So it was very bipartisan, incredible group of senators signed on to it, tech leaders. And it said that if you're above a certain amount of turnover or revenue through your marketplace, you couldn't be on both the buy side and the sell side, which significantly immediately impacts Google. And so I wouldn't be surprised if you start to see legislative fixes come quickly too, based on this case.
This is not the Digital Market Act, it's a DMA that the EU is rolling out next year that you can't sort of take positions, or there's like laws around being a gatekeeper that you can't do certain things. And it's interesting, like that could apply to YouTube, that could apply to other platforms that have to give access to different vendors and different independent buyers. So that's an interesting, but you think that'll have a direct effect, or this will have a direct effect in potentially future legislation, Jason?
Absolutely. I mean, the Digital Markets Act in particular is already passed. They're setting the rules. And I think, you know, just in the last weekend, we started to see social media platforms designate themselves as quote unquote gatekeepers. That included, you know, Facebook and YouTube. And so you'll see that likely in the advertising sector too. And so, you know, a new legislation will pop up here in the United States.
Kieran, in terms of how you see the best case scenario from this case, and I say best case, I mean, what could the potential impact be on Google here?
I know I'm not really privy to Google's strategy, but maybe I would say they have many contingency plans sitting on the shelf about maybe getting out of sell side. I know it's a big business for them, but it's not growing, and really their focus needs to be elsewhere. As owned and operated, where they make 100% margin. Cloud, which is obviously a business that's growing very strongly, and not so strongly for them, so they need to kind of double down on that. So is, you know, third party ad tech really a key part of their business going forward? Maybe they'll make the decision that it's probably better for to get out of it for various reasons, like anti-competitive reasons, privacy reasons, obviously with deprecation of cookies, and they're under a lot of pressure to kind of like come up with solutions to cookies here in the UK with the CMA. I can't remember have sort of like requested that they come up with a solution, which I think is nonsensical, because actually, why is Google being asked to do this? It's like they're doing it for privacy reasons. Maybe they'll make a conscious decision that the browser is actually probably the future of the ad server, and, you know, ads being sort of done in the browser itself. There's a lot of sort of, I wouldn't be surprised if you see something that will shock us probably in the 12 months, in the next 12 months. They might make a conscious decision about this. Maybe this case might go against them. But to Jason's point, like, Google are so big now, right, that it's just difficult for them to maneuver, because everybody's coming for them, like, you know, legislators. And obviously, I don't want to, like, give any sort of, like, tidbits to the Google Council here and help them out in their case. But the reality is they're not doing very well in CTV. They're not really in retail media, and these are like high growth parts of the business, the advertising business. So, you know, it's an interesting time for the company. I mean, you know, they're even being sort of like disrupted a little bit in search with the ChatGPT stuff and OpenAI. That could have a detrimental effect on the business, which then affects the search demand, which then affects the business that they're in as well. So there's a bunch of interesting stuff going on here, that could affect Google as a business going forward. But the thing, I think this iron grip they've had over ad tech is starting to loosen, I think. And, you know, obviously Jason's sort of like, he works the company trying to offer alternatives to Google. And I think he's doing a good job of that. And I think publishers are starting to waken up to that. So, you know, all upside except for Google, obviously. Upside for us, downside for Google.
Yeah. Jason, what do you think of that?
spot on. And, you know, we have limited time, but, this is the second lawsuit from the Justice Department. So there's also the self-referencing lawsuit, which will start to be heard later this year. And then I mentioned earlier the state AG's lawsuit, which is also moving forward. I think Google's tried to spin it in the press that was dismissed or mostly dismissed, but that's not accurate. That suit's very much moving forward too. And so these things will start to hit them very quickly and freeze them in different ways, which is what we saw with Microsoft, you know, 2 decades ago that led to Google and Amazon and, you know, competition in the marketplace, which is a good thing for everyone else. One question I have for Karen in terms of the point on privacy too, which is hitting Google. The data piece and privacy piece is not really a part of this lawsuit, which I think simplifies the case in many ways, which is a good thing. But, you know, if Google did have to divest part of its ad tech business, you know, they really do lose a lot of that signal data throughout the supply chain. And you know, the lawsuit kind of compares, you know, again, to the financial marketplace and almost this idea that Google is committing insider trading by being able to leverage the data all across the marketplace. And the words insider trading are very much understood too as a problem. And so how important is that you see the data restrictions in the light of the current expectations in privacy if Google has to cut off part of its limbs?
It's a very good question. I suppose they're already getting plenty of signal from our logins on Gmail and because they've got Chrome as well. I think that gives them that sort of like advantage. And, you know, you're right about signal loss across the open web would affect their business. But I still think they've got so much good signal, better than most places. Like they're effectively, operating a scaled, walled garden on the open web, because like every time we go into Chrome, I don't know what you are, like ExchangeWire uses Google as its backend for email. So like, you know, you're logging in straight away via your email. So they've got that sort of like that unbelievable data point on you. I don't think they're really going to damage them in any way at all. It's just how important do they think this is for their business though? That's the thing, like, you know, is it as important as YouTube, as important as search, as important as cloud? And my sense is the people who, you know, are always getting higher profile are the ones running those businesses, right? So, you know, Neil Mohan's now the CEO of YouTube, and he's getting loads of profile. And he came from the DoubleClick side, but most of the old DoubleClick people have been kind of wiped away like in the last firing session, quite a lot of people, senior people were laid off from what I heard. So does Google really care about this business? That's the question you want to ask yourself. Like, and it'd be interesting to see what they do, because it's difficult. They have to play nice with everybody. You know, if you shut down this, then they probably can get away with, you know, not having to replace the cookie effectively, because they're not in the sell side ad tech business anymore. There's ways for them to kind of like address the concerns of regulators by you know, either spinning it or sort of shutting it down.
I'll just throw out I mostly agree. I throw out a prediction that the impact to signal loss is more significant than the market realizes in light of the Digital Markets Act moving forward in the EU, which should ultimately make Chrome and Android act as gatekeepers and have limitations on how they can use data. And so you're going to start to see those monopoly choke points have more and more restrictions, along with, you know, GDPR edging forward and being enforced in many ways. So it creates more risk, I guess, than just the revenue calculation. Google likes to point at the percentage of revenue that comes from their ad tech supply side of the business. And I think the risk is much greater than that. I don't know if it's an ATT, Apple, Facebook type risk. Probably not, but I think it can compound very quickly.
Yeah. Do you think that it's detrimental for Google and their customers or just them in particular?
I think there's short-term risk to publishers even, because that loss of signal could start to impact CPMs in the short term.
Yeah.
Different than third-party cookies. But I think that's a very short-term look. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you've got a dominant monopoly on all sides of the market in the middle, they're going to suck oxygen out of you by law. I mean, they have a fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders. So I think in the long term, this is much better for the small businesses and the publishers, you know, if Google can't do what they're doing.
It'll probably make things more transparent and take rates will be more obvious. Because if you're funneling money from like, just thinking about it, if you're buying keywords on the Google ad platform, and then you're buying it across third-party sites, that demand then goes into AdX, and then AdX takes its cut, and then the ads are served. Like they're making, you don't know what they're making. It's like, you know, it's the sausage factory. It's insane. Like, you know, you could probably work out that they're making probably the guts of 50 or 50%. They say they're making less, but we don't know that. Nobody's auditing them. So yeah. They've no idea. I think it just offers a level of transparency. And also I think what's been missing in ad tech for the guts of 10 years is really real innovation on the sell side, particularly in the ad server. Because think about it, you can get GAM, and we use it on ExchangeWire, free up to 100 million impressions. And then effectively, it is so cheap. They're just giving it away so you can basically pile inventory into AdX. And that's how they've kept, you know, a lot of publishers. And I think that's been to the detriment of ad tech on the sell side and a lot for the last decade. You know, you've had some players come in like AppNexus who've tried to, unseat them, and Brian O'Kelly and Michael Rubenstein and Mike Nolan had a real proper go at it. But you're up against that kind of monopolistic sort of hole in the industry. And you know what? Wouldn't it be amazing now to see an AppNexus arrive now into the space? And how would they fare right now in the current environment? I would say like they would be a pretty strong entity if they arrived on the scene now, given what's happened to Google. So I'm pretty excited about this. I mean, like, you know, I'm not anti-Google. I mean, we use Google products, for Christ's sake. But when you get this big, there's always going to be a problem. You know, the $650 billion of digital advertising spend, and Google accounts for like nearly $200 billion odd. Like it's 200 plus, should I say, which is, you know, nearly half of it. Like, You have to start asking questions, because it affects everything down the line, from publishers to, you know, any digital product is affected by this.
Yeah, do you agree, Jason? Do you think that's, you know, it's like Kieran says, it's a big company. It might not be the end, but in terms of maybe it opens the industry up a little.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better. And so, you know, a company that's dominant across the way we discover content, the way the web is designed, the way the data is shared or not shared, and the way the dollars flow across the industry at the level that Google is problematic. It's not, you know, the company itself, the people themselves are not the issue. In some ways, they seem to be better actors than some of the other players out there at times, but the market distortions and the effects on the rest of the economy and the open web are significant. And, you know, and as we see the discovery in this lawsuit, a lot of it comes from Google's own emails and internal messaging. And you start to see things that don't line up with what was being told to publishers and advertisers and the rest of the market. You know, it starts to build distrust too in the company, which I think that's what, you know, it was the downfall of Facebook in many ways over the last few years. And so Google finding a way to get ahead of this and find some friends in the marketplace can be really important, because I think the next few years are going to be very challenging for them around what is the most of their business, digital advertising.
Yeah, and there's so many opportunities coming our way, like so many new businesses. Like there's Uber are doing $1 billion in run rate. There's, you know, the retail media thing. I know Google's going to use this as a sort of like as a defense of their business, but the reality is they do have such a chokehold over the open web. Like that's the part that's going to sort of like be difficult to defend against.
Yeah,
like they own 95. Well, the guts of 95% of the publisher ad market. That's crazy. It's a crazy stat.
Interesting. Excuse me. I mean, the one thing that I did notice in the lawsuit was how many times the Justice Department and in their press conference, which the AG led, Merrick Garland, how many times they mentioned the open internet and the open web and Google's effects on it, which is really, you know, giving them a taste of their own propaganda.
I think that resonates well with people because the open web is where people get their information and newspapers and, you know, places where publications are important to the sort of like the existence of a democratic society are being affected. So like that's the way I would play this if I was, you know, prosecuting the case.
Cool. Well, that's almost all we've got time for. Quick last question. We've got a couple of minutes left. Jason, is this, I mean, you've touched on it already. You've said we hope this is the big one. Do you think this is the one that's going to have teeth?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would lock that into how significantly better the team that worked on this, and you see it in the actual lawsuit, how much better they actually understand the marketplace and are able to communicate it back to what is going to be a jury. And I think that's significant from where we were 4 years ago. And I would make it clear that that's because of the prior work that's been done in Australia and the UK, you know, the Texas-led AG's case. Like, there's been a significant amount of work that preceded this to understand, digest, and explain this marketplace. And that's not just the investigations, it's the parliaments and the staff that work on the parliaments, and it's the press, you know, and folks like Karen and your team. Like, you have dug into this and explained it to the public in a way that we're in a whole different place now than we were 3 or 4 years ago. And that's why I'm so confident in this case.
Brilliant. Well, it's one that we're going to keep tabs on throughout the year. And Jason, we'll talk to you later in the year again when whatever comes next. Kieran, Jason, thanks so much for joining me today. And thank you, everyone, for listening.